Meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we please have the roll call.
Councilmember Deedy.
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Here.
Councilmember Edelman.
Here.
Councilmember Stout.
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Here.
So we have an item to add to the agenda today, authorizing the purchase of a used truck for facilities. We did have the money in the budget, but we were kind of having so much trouble with the other vehicle, and we had an opportunity to purchase it, so we went ahead and purchased it, but we would like to have authorization. Normally, this would have been on the consent agenda, but we missed the agenda placement, so we're hoping that you would go ahead and allow us to add this to the agenda and approve the agenda with the addition of this vehicle, and I think you all have a copy of it.
Mm-hmm. So I make a motion to add resolution number 18-1257 to the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So I think we need a a motion to approve the agenda.
I move that we approve the agenda.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So we have no appointments, announcements, or proclamations or presentations. I would entertain a motion for the consent agenda.
I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now is the time for public comments. If you wish to address council, please come up to the podium and state your name and your city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Trish?
Hello. My name is Trish Parker, and I am a resident of Black Diamond for over 20 years. I live in Lawson Hill Estates. And the reason I'm brought here is because of the 4th of July and the fireworks. After 20-something years, I am a victim to the fireworks of my neighbors across the street who let illegal fireworks off, and they were intoxicated. They burnt down my tree. I have 16 arbor trees that are 12 feet tall, and one of the firecrackers, or whatever it was, tipped over, didn't go straight up, landed on its side and went into my trees. The trees caught fire. I was in the house with my son. I am a single parent with a disabled child who is wheelchair bound, weighs 140 pounds. I don't even weigh 140 pounds, but to get him out of the house would have been a big chore. So the tree caught fire. A neighbor four doors down across the street saw the blaze coming, apparently. I'm not aware of this. I'm inside watching TV. Came, called the fire department, came, ran over, started putting water to the tree. The neighbor next door came over, started putting water to the tree. Where the two people that lit the fireworks stood there and watched the tree go in flames. I didn't, like I said, nobody knocked on my door to tell me that, hey, there's a potential hazard here. We just want you to know. They said that they didn't think I was home. The reason why I was alerted was I heard a fire truck. I heard a truck outside the door, so I ran upstairs, looked out the window, and the fire truck was there, ran downstairs, and my neighbor told me what had happened, that the firework didn't go out. So anyways, the police were called. And the fire department showed up, and nothing was really, I couldn't see very much because it was pitch black. It was about 10 o'clock at night, and the police said to me, the first responder, was that it was an accident. Well, yes, there are accidents, and it wasn't intentionally, but the minute you light a firework, you're responsible. It's your game, not my game. and I'm not going to suffer the consequences of somebody else drinking and lighting a firework that can bodily harm you, cause death or fire. And I can't be the police, and I am not their keepers, to enforce that somebody has a brain to think, wow, do I really want to do this right here? The homes are so close. I'm just appalled at the whole thing. So in other words, I have to be the parent of these people to make sure that they don't light fireworks again that could harm other people. It's the safety of the people that live in Black Diamond. And not only that, it's really hard for the police to enforce anything when they don't even know what's legal or illegal. They don't know how to enforce it. So, sorry. I just want to say that I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous, but and I'm a talker, but I would really like them banned for the people of Black Diamond, for my safety, my son's safety, and the rest of the people that live here. And if we could follow suit, like Redmond or the rest of the places, would be great. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Trish is the mother of our first chief for a day, so we kind of all have a special relationship with her. Thanks, Trish. Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Jonna.
Jonna Thompson, Black Diamond. So I feel really bad to hear that there was a fire in Lawson Hills over fireworks. And because as the president of the Kiwanis, we sell fireworks in town, it sounds like there was a lot of variables involved, probably some illegal fireworks, which we don't sell. That comes from the reservations, which are not supposed to come off of the reservation, and alcohol. And we know that too much alcohol with anything can end up being a disaster. So what I would just, I appreciate Trish's request to have you consider banning fireworks. I would just ask that you not jump to that we spend some time thinking about that and considering it. And in Unincape, Incorporated King County, fireworks are not banned. And I know Reagan Dunn this year put out a specific postcard trying to educate people more about how to be safe and being safe about fireworks. So I'm just wondering if there couldn't be another step in there before we jump to banning, where we educate people and try to work with our citizens and try to make sure that people are aware of the difference between legals and illegals and the importance of being neighborly when it comes to fireworks. So maybe there could be some other compromise in there. So because I can tell you that Maple Valley banned fireworks, and Maple Valley residents come to the fireworks stand, our fireworks stand in Black Diamond, to get their fireworks. So banning isn't the solution until all the cities and unincorporated King County all ban it. Then it makes a difference. Then you can't even get them. So anyway, maybe there'd be an intermediate step.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Kristen?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Kristen Bryant. I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. And my comment tonight is related to the item you have on your agenda for the 10 Trails Phase 1A Division 2 final plat for 117 lots under city file number PLN11-0001. The item, I was looking to see if it had been reviewed in any of the council committees. I didn't see a listing on the city calendar for a committee that might have reviewed this or any of the agendas since the last meeting. And that's fine, but my question was to ask the council members when this comes up to if you've had any particular review or input or questions on some of these items, what occurred and if anything in here needed to be addressed since the last meeting, that would be of interest, as well as just to point out that although the final plat does need to be approved if the developer has met all of the conditions of approval, they've met all the laws, that there really isn't a choice for council if everything has been met. It is does come to council because it is you're the final step to make sure that truly every condition, every law has been met. The staff can put together their report, but it would be an entirely administrative decision if it wasn't finally on the council's shoulders to do their own review and make sure that all the laws have been interpreted as the council would interpret them, and all of the conditions that were put on the development agreement and the plat approval from the hearing examiner back years ago are all met. So if there's any question about any of them, I know this is the first time the council has to discuss this item. So hearing any discussion or questions would be good, and I hope that you've all looked at it very carefully is my comment. Thank you.
Bob?
Bob Edelman, Black Diamond. I want to add my support for consideration of an ordinance to ban fireworks in the city of Black Diamond. Now, I understand that this is a big fundraiser for the Kiwanis. However, that certainly doesn't justify the hazards that fireworks, legal or illegal, present to the city and its residents. The so-called safe and sane fireworks can be just as dangerous, just as bad a fire hazard as some of the illegal fireworks. So I would support drafting of an ordinance to prevent the sale and firing of fireworks within the city limits, except for professional displays. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Yes.
Mayor, council.
My name
is Roberta Nash. I live in Lawson Hills, and I am a single person who lives alone. I am 65 years old. I have some medical problems. I was really worried about the fireworks. I mean, I sat there in my bedroom window looking out because they frightened me half to death. And this is the first year that that's ever done it for me. And I understand the fundraising is important, but safety is more important. And I just want to back the proposal of a ban on fireworks. If they ban them in Maple Valley and they come here and buy them, do they take them home and then fire them off there? I don't know. But if it's banned not to buy here, at least that's going to lower the amount. And I don't know whether it would give the police the rights to stop them if they find someone using them. Anyway, I support a ban on fireworks, and because they've just gotten bigger and bigger over the years. I mean, we just had little cones when I was young. That was it. And even those were a danger, could fall over. Anyway, thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Brock?
Brock Didi, Black Diamond. I'm speaking on behalf of the gym today and our Black Diamond gym right over here. We had Mr. and Mrs. Cronin, I think their names are, came and talked to Tammy and I about a week ago, and they've been utilizing the field on the south side of the gym for baseball. And what they've heard is that we're going to put a fence around that area, and they would just like to be able to be a part of that because they'd like to be able to see if they could fit young kids' baseball diamond in that area before the fence gets planned into where it needs to go. So if they could be a part of the planning of where that fence goes, then maybe they could fit a little league baseball diamond in there. So that would be really cool. They're talking about starting in January of 2019, reserving the gym quite a bit for indoor baseball practice for the teams that they're going to generate. And to be able to go outside and do hitting, they thought that would be an awesome, awesome deal. So I just request the ability for them to work with the city in the placement of the fence so that we can see if we can fit a baseball diamond in there. Okay? Thanks.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. The next item on the agenda is the resolution regarding the final plat approval for 10 Trails. Mr. Williamson isn't here. I'm not. Were you going to address it?
Andy asked me to address it, so I guess.
Okay. I'll... Our attorney is going to address it.
So, council, good evening. Your city attorney, David Linehan. Playing the guest starring as Andy Williamson tonight. So before you is an agenda bill to approve the final plat approval for Phase 1A Division 2 of what was originally called the Villages. It's now 10 Trails. This is, as has been previously described tonight correctly, more of an administrative or ministerial process where the council just exercises its obligation under state law to confirm that the requirements and obligations of the preliminary plat have in fact been completed before approving the final plat. You have the benefit of a very comprehensive staff report prepared by the city staff and consultants who've been retained and understand this project very well. Their recommendations are documented in 24 detailed pages explaining each of the various requirements under the MPD permit approval, under the development agreement, under the preliminary plat approval from your hearing examiner, and the CEPA mitigation conditions that were imposed by the hearing examiner. All of those things are explained in detail. I'm happy to try and field any questions that you may have. The exhibits and the drawings should contain all the information that you need. And it's my understanding that Mr. Williamson has met with many, if not all of you already, to go over your questions and answer any.
He did meet with all the council.
He met with all of them. Okay. Yes. I knew that was his goal, but I wasn't sure if that happened. So with that, the city staff recommends that the council approve the final plat and authorize the mayor to sign the final plat signifying the city's approval.
Councilmember Edelman.
Well, first of all, I want to make a statement that even though this is administrative, I personally don't take this lightly. This is very important. This isn't something where I sat down and in 5 minutes went, oh, okay, fine, rubber stamp it. It doesn't work that way. I went through every page. I sat down with Andy and went through 2 pages of questions that I had. He answered them all. We took a tour, and I think you did the same tour with all the council members, because you can look at all that paper, but when you go up and actually see which lot they're talking about, and I've been on the council a long time now, as I'm driving out, oh, that's V13, oh, you know, it starts to click a little bit better. But I just would like everyone, not only in the audience, but those that might be listening later, that this is very serious business. We do our homework. We don't take this lightly. And so there's no doubt that we're going to pass this tonight. And I think by looking at what's going on up there, it's all being handled in a very professional manner. Andy has done his job Alex has done his job. The staff have just gone over and above what they need to do to make sure that this is done correctly. And how many times did things get bounced back to Oak Point because it wasn't quite right? It wasn't just a rubber stamp either. And I know there were many heated discussions that went on. So I do want to give some kudos to the staff as well.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
I'd just like to reiterate what Councilmember Edelman said. We Andy and the staff did a great job of providing us the information we needed to make an informed decision. And the tour really does help kind of tie all that together because, you know, you look at pages and pages of blueprints and plat diagrams, and it really helps when you get out there on the plat itself to kind of look at the roads and look at the sidewalks and look at the plot sizes and all that to really tie everything together. And you, then you can kind of, different questions pop in your head, and you can ask Andy, well, what about this and what about that? So I think it's the staff did a great job preparing. Despite the voluminous information we were given both last meeting and since then, but they're also great at answering questions and stuff. So I think the citizens can have good confidence that we've done our homework and done our best to make sure that this is in the best interest of the city.
Councilmember Deedy?
So I met with Andy and took the tour also. And like Janie and Chris has stated, you know, this is pretty serious. I mean, it's just not something where you just say, like Janie stated, oh, okay, this came to us, and we just sign, you know, take our vote and walk away. We have to be able to talk to our citizens and tell them, you know, why we approved this, why it's before us. So it's a big deal. Let's see. So, you know, some of the issues were with Covington Water. That was resolved, gosh, a long time ago. That was settled. There's some other things in there that, you know, didn't apply. It was pretty straightforward, I thought, this time. It was pretty easy to look at and say, okay, yes, those were met. And on the tour, it was easy to see, you know, from the last plat, what was happening on this one. So it was a lot more pleasant, even though it was a lot of paper, a lot of paper. It was rather not overwhelming to go through. And Andy did a great job sitting in his office, going through stuff, and then taking that tour and understanding that. And also, you know, citizens could go out tomorrow. You know, they have their hometown gathering. You can see where we're talking about, where this is going to be. You can see all the wiring and stuff that's coming up. You can see where each of these homes are going to go. You can go out there tonight, take a little quick drive around. You can see it as well. So I'm in support of passing this. I would also just say that I think something like this should go on to the consent agenda. At any time the council can pull it from the consent agenda, but I just think that something like this should go on the consent agenda, and we can by all means still talk about it, still, you know, just in our council report, just say, you know, a little bit about it. But I think that the majority of cities already do put these on their consent agenda. It's not something that is before the, like we're doing now, and then we discuss it and bring it forward. Did you want to say something, David?
I was just going to affirm your sense that it's quite common that most cities do put final plats on consent agenda. There's certainly no rule, and like you said, sometimes they do come off because there's some specific question or concern somebody has, and so that does get discussed in the council meeting. But given the technical nature of the approvals and given the fact that most council members aren't civil engineers and, you know, are able to review information very carefully with staff prior to council meetings and get those kinds of technical questions satisfied to their mind, that it's, that oftentimes I think council feels like it's a bit of a waste of time to go through that exercise in their council meeting, where time is sometimes more valuably spent on something else. But like I said, that's simply just a preference that some cities do. It's certainly not an obligation, and there's no reason why Black Diamond couldn't do something different if it wanted to. One other point I was going to say is state law has recently changed and has allowed, used to be that only the legislative body of a city could approve a final plat. State law has now given cities flexibility that if councils are tired of dealing with final plats, they can delegate that authority to an administrative officer, either a hearing examiner or a staff person like the mayor or somebody else, if they just don't want to have to dig through hundreds of pages of information, and if they want to delegate that authority, they can. But that's, like I said, that's just flexibility. That's not, and I've only seen a few cities start to do that, but some have.
Well, that, for me, I think that would make sense that it would go to a hearing examiner, because the hearing examiner is also the one that went over this already and added the conditions. I think there was 98 conditions added to this development agreement from the hearing examiner. So a lot of, if not everything in here stated, you know, according to the hearing examiner, you know, these conditions were met at this site. So that's just a thought for the council to look at. You know, maybe we look at that and say, like we've done with other issues that we sent to the hearing examiner, maybe we do the same with this.
That decision, of course, comes with some additional cost, because then you've got to pay your hearing examiner. So that's just, there's different considerations to weigh in on that, and that's obviously your discretion how you want to handle that, keep it yourself or assign it to, delegate that to somebody else.
Yeah. Councilmember Stout?
I just wanted to say on that note that as the elected officials of the City of Black Diamond, I really consider it an honor to wade through the bits and pieces. I feel like those who elected us are trusting us to turn the pages so that they don't have to necessarily. I don't know if the average citizen is going to come in and look at all of these documents, but they're trusting that we will. And by the same token, we as the City Council really trust the staff. We look at all of these signatures and all of these stamps and all of the certifications that have gone through here. And we know that as we interact with most of these people, we trust them. And we know that they're, you know, like you said, we are not civil engineers or, you know, ditch diggers or sewer workers or whatever, thank goodness. But they are, and we really trust them. So I think we could put it on the consent agenda, because the same thing would happen. It would be approved as a ministerial function. But as we do it this way, we're showing our community that we are really willing to stand up and work and wade through the documents. And you never know. We might find something that we have a question about or something that got missed. But I think it's an honor for us to have it right in the middle of our agenda, where we can discuss it and let the citizens know that we've paid attention to what's going on that's really important in this community.
Mayor, can I make another comment?
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yes, I mean, I just like to, you know, just say yes with everybody else, what they're saying and feeling. I mean, I read through it. I was able to look through it and ask questions with Andy. I thoroughly enjoyed my visit with Andy and going on site and looking at it. I am a visual person, so I can look through this, read through this, but once I get my hands on it and actually get on the sites and actually ask questions, that's where I actually grasp a lot of things as a person and a visual. So I was very thankful that Andy was able to take some time and show me this. And I agree. I think that if the hearing examiner and everybody else has done their job, and we trust the staff doing hours and hours of their work and doing it well, I would be more than happy to put it on the consent agenda in the future.
Councilmember Edelman.
Okay, I think we really complicated this whole thing right now. First of all, I think if we refer it, if it gets referred to the hearing examiner, he makes the decision, we're done. We don't see it again. Okay. What I like is, again, put it on the consent agenda. That doesn't mean that we as the council don't do our due diligence. We still, from Andy, will get the big maps and the staff report. It still will be up to us to do our reviews and talk to Andy so that we understand. It's just that the actual approval will go into that lump called the consent agenda. Okay?
So, but based on that, I'd like to move to adopt Resolution 18-1255, approving the final plat for 10 Trails, Phase 1A, Division 2, PLN 18-0034, setting forth supportive findings and fixing a time when the final plat shall become effective.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is a resolution regarding greenhouse gas emissions reduction policies. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Well, this is an interesting resolution. The global warming, as you know, it can be a very controversial subject. And there's the believers and those that don't believe. But wherever you land on that discussion, there's two good reasons to approve this resolution. One, the primary one, is that the state has established this as a policy, and they're pushing out those policies to a lot of our grant funders. So it's important for us to, as we are applying for grants, to improve our chances to adopt a policy such as this. Now, if you're on the doubter side, you can vote yes because it makes good economic sense to be a good steward of our finances and be efficient in use of energy, and as we have been doing, and so many of these policies are we are already doing it, upgrading our lighting, getting more heat efficient with our buildings, and taking those decisions into account in our capital projects, improving walkability, and trying to limit roundabouts themselves, reduce gas emissions, and that you're not stopping all the traffic, you're keeping it moving rather than stopping them and having to use that energy to get those cars going again. So these are things that we're already doing. And save the planet.
Councilmember Deedy.
So I am all for saving our planet. From gas emissions and everything else. So it's one vote here. But I think, with that being said, I mean, anytime that the city can save money on upgrading its buildings, getting funds from the state, and if the state's looking at whether or not this city is wanting to comply with federal emissions standards, right? Then if they see that, then we're more likely to get a grant. But maybe if they see that we're not, we might float back down to the bottom and not get that grant. So if we're looking at saving our taxpayers' money, it would be good to pass this and get that grant that we need to help us save not only, to save our heating bills, our electricity bills, and any other bills that the city receives that taxpayers pay.
Councilmember Edelman?
Well, I agree with that, and especially if you've read down into what this is encouraging, cost-effective, energy-efficient design. We're all doing that with our homes. I just put in some new windows. They're energy efficient. My gas bill went down. I would like to see how you guys are all going to start bicycling to work.
Dan so, does that well.
Well, Dan lives down the street.
Kevin used to do that when he was a police officer.
But, there are people that live a little farther away than that. But, I think the city's already doing that. We've changed out lights on Roberts Drive and put in, with the help of Puget Sound Energy, LED lights. Carpooling to off-site trainings, we already do that. So this isn't a big hit on the city to have to comply with it. because so much of it they're already doing, it's already their policy. But what it does is it puts us one step farther in getting grants from the Transportation Improvement Board or the Public Works Trust Fund. And it's just being good stewards of the taxpayers' money. So I encourage it.
And it's not costing us anything.
And it doesn't cost us any money. Yeah.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Yeah, I think one of the other things to note is, you know, as you look through the policy part of Section 1, right, it's all, like you were saying, common sense stuff that we're doing anyway. And none of it is a shall, right? It is a should. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't force us to spend any extra money, but it does recommend that we kind of move in that direction of being mindful of our limited resources on this planet and the fact that we can probably be better stewards from time to time. So I don't see any issues with adopting this, and I'll be voting for it.
So I make a motion to adopt resolution number 18-1256, adopting policies and procedures as the City of Black Diamond's greenhouse gas emissions reduction policy.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is a resolution authorizing the purchase of a used 2015 Ford F-150 from Northwest Motorsports in Puyallup. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. Recently, Kevin has noticed that his truck of, I think it's like 13 years old, was not in noticing some transmission problems. It's already burning quite a bit of oil. The past 5 years, the maintenance has been very high. So at this point, we were approaching more of an emergency. We did not want to spend a lot more money on that truck for one more year. So as Kevin was shopping around for trucks, he was finding they were in $32,000 to $42,000 in the used market, and he was able to locate a truck for $28,000, which also included a $2,000 gem top. So, you know, really, you're looking at $4,000 below all those other bids. We felt it was important to move forward with that purchase, one, because of the urgency, but also because this was a very good deal. So thank you.
So the total cost is $32,000, right?
Yes, with tax.
With tax. So
and
it's 20.
There were some other and sundry fees.
So I know in the Finance Committee, we see a lot of vehicle repairs coming through, and it is quite expensive every month. So I'm for purchasing this new truck, or new old truck,
yes.
for the city, and a reliable one, and also for towing capabilities as well. So that's great.
Yep. So I make a motion to adopt resolution number 18-1257, authorizing the purchase of a used 2015 Ford F-150 from Northwest Motorsports in Puyallup.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So it's time for department reports. Chief Smith? Did you bring backup with you today?
What now?
Backup with you today?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. for the heart attack.
Sorry about the noise that was made there earlier.
Can't turn our 911 stuff off, so. So, anyway. Well, first I have to say, fire department's been preventing global warming for hundreds of years, so before it ever became popular. So we're all on board for that. Let's see. So it's summertime, so it's time for hose tests. We test our hose every single year to NFPA standard. all 8 miles of fire hose that we maintain. So not only is it it's an industry standard, it keeps our firefighters safe, it keeps the public safe, plus it keeps their insurance down, because that's one of the things the insurance rater looks at. Do you test your hose every year? So we test that every year. And our ladders, those tests every year. Then later in the summer will be the fire apparatus test, where we test the pumps to make sure that they're still pumping at their rated capacity. So, and that's the one we always dread, because that's the one when we find out that there might be a problem with the fire engine. So we always wait for that to be done to find out what we have to fix on the fire apparatus. Fireworks. Every year, about 2 weeks before 4th of July, I send a PDF publication to the city, but typically to the fire chief, I said it to myself. No, I don't. To the police chief and to the mayor and to the city council. Actually, the city of Black Diamond has a fairly comprehensive fireworks law. You can only shoot off fireworks on the 4th of July between, I don't remember what the times are, but it's
9 a.m.
to
midnight.
Okay, so you guys actually read the material I sent to you. So
of course we did.
That was a test. So, and we, you know, we've talked about fireworks in public safety meetings every year.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of jurisdictions that have made fireworks illegal. It doesn't stop fireworks from being discharged where they're illegal. So it's really an enforcement issue. It's not that's what it really is. It's an enforcement issue, and it's really hard to enforce, because you have to have, you know, there's well, you have 4,000 people in the city of Black Diamond spread out over 6 miles, something like that. So it's, you know, how do you have people, officers, at every single location all the time? So it's a real tough thing, and it's another one of those deeply dividing things. You know, some people like fireworks, some people don't. So, but it's always, you know, we always encourage people to be safe, and especially, you know, it's really funny, because you wouldn't let your kids play with a lighter or some, or matches, but on the 4th of July, we give them a little wire that burns at 2,000 degrees. So, you know, we just encourage adults. And sometimes the adults are the worst ones. So, but usually it's because people are using illegal fireworks and they're doing something stupid with them. No, you know, no one usually calls the fire department because somebody did something smart. So, 10 trails review. You know, fire marshal looks at all of those. I sit down with the fire marshal and look at all of those. And the reason is because my name has to go on it. And I think it's the same with the rest of your staff. We're signing our names to these things, so we take that very seriously when we review those. And so far, 10 trails, but, you know, we look at the roads, we look at the water and all those things to make sure that those are meet the standard that it's supposed to, and they do, you know. So, and our firefighters, I drive through there twice a week. Firefighters drive through there very often just to keep an eye on what's going on. And so we're familiar with things, so we do that all the time. I think that's about all I have. We're testing for a firefighter's position. We have the physical agility this Saturday. We have one position that's open. We had one of our lieutenants retire. So we'll be promoting a firefighter to lieutenant, and we're filling that firefighter's position. So we'll be doing that in the next couple of weeks. That's about all I have, unless someone has a question. You need to get your podium fixed.
You're too tall.
That's what I am.
You need to talk to Kevin.
Okay. All right. We'll get on the ramp in the meeting.
Thank you, Chief.
Uh-oh.
Are there any other department reports? Oh, here she comes. Do you have a department report?
Yes.
Oh, well, we can hold this on.
Thank
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I just prepared for you guys a quick mid-year department report. I won't go through everything, obviously. I'll just highlight a few things to make this a little quicker. As you know, our upcoming Chief Burr Day is August 16th, so if any of you want to participate or come, you're more than welcome to. You can either meet us at the event or you can meet us here that morning as long as we've got room in our patrol cars. So just let me know if you're interested. Also, on our Boots and Badges event, just an FYI, which raises money for our Chief Burr Day, we raise a little over $8,000. And, yes. Yeah, I was getting there, maybe. We lost. I don't even know if I would call it a game this year. But they recruited far away for some talent. I don't know where they found some other guys, but anyways. Yeah, we got whooped pretty good. Commercial vehicle enforcement.
The first time, though, right?
First time in 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. commercial vehicle enforcement. As you guys know, that's been one of our projects for quite a while. Chris Chatterson just completed his 3-week training course up at WSP. He's currently working on conducting his 34 inspections that he has to do with the trained CVO, and he has till November to do that. So he's working pretty much every Friday right now with Washington State Patrol to try to get those done. After that, he'll receive his federal certification.
And that's 40 hours he has to put in, right?
No, he has to do 34 inspections. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And each inspection can be anywhere from 45 minutes to hours.
Hours.
Yeah, he's really excited about that.
Yeah.
if you guys haven't met Ruby, she's our first intern we've had ever. So she's completed, I think, 2 months already. It's 14 weeks long, so she's been a good asset to have. Active shooter training. As you know, Commander and I both went down to Utah for a 2-day civilian train-the-trainer back in February. Since then, I think I've been to several elementary schools. I'm working with the Enumclaw School District on their first EOC tabletop in August. Nice. I've got some upcoming training with two of our churches this summer, both St. Barbara's and Grace Point, I think that is. We've done some City Hall staff training and then moving forward with the rest of the city. So traffic school, we'll still have that on Saturdays. Enumclaw's been sending their offenders as well, or offering it to them. Our tri-annual award, which we do three a year, obviously. This first quarter went to Officer Henrich for his CPR that he did on during a traffic stop. I think you guys read about that months ago. Mm-hmm. We just wrapped up DARE. Brian, again, finished up his 9th year, did a fabulous job. Let's see. Our annual distracted driving, which was our first one that we did, was on May 23rd. We ended up with 240-some, I think, high school seniors that we ran through. It was an all-day, took a lot of work, but it was a great, great result, and they want to bring us back every year. So that was probably, I would say, one of the most successful things we've done in a long time. Grant funds, you guys can read through that. Traffic safety emphasis, we received a little over $6,000 for overtime and emphasis patrols so far this year. Marine, we got a little over $13,000 through federal monies. That's in addition to our VRF funds, which, as if you're familiar with our vessel registration fees, if we don't spend those, which typically we do every summer with the federal grant, that allows us to stockpile a little bit of money. So when and if we have an issue marine-related, we can use those VRF funds. So that's been good. Jail, this was the first year we did a guaranteed bed space with Enumclaw. I got an update 2-3 weeks ago from their head jailer. We've used every day. So far, it was a good investment. We'll probably be over budget again this year. That's my guess. As of the end of May, we were about 65% of our projected budget. So I'm guessing we'll end up a little bit over budget in that area. Speaking of vehicles and repairs, you'll see the bills coming through. We just replaced an engine, which was $9,400, and we took another vehicle out of service It had a little over 140,000 miles on it, and it's just not safe. We just kept pouring money into it. So we are going to be replacing one vehicle here in the next few months that will come before you, and then hopefully another one next year to get us back on track. Calls for service, just to highlight, we're 25% above average. That's not traffic stops or anything. That's calls for service. That's no new population. That's just the amount of calls we're getting, and that's been consistent every single year. So urban growth. And then you guys in the last couple pages, that just kind of tells you the types of calls we're responding to, what we're doing. So if you have any questions, let me know.
Thank you, Chief.
So do we have any other? Kevin?
I don't need to get up. I just wanted to point out the significance of that picture in Jamie's report, that I'm actually in a picture for a change.
Right? Yeah. Well, we noticed that.
The significance of that is the lady that wanted that picture, that's her son. She was in my DARE class.
Wow. Wow, that's cool.
That's neat.
That
kind of
So on to the mayor's report. Tammy and I, along with our husbands, were in the Whacking Wild golf tournament, and we were badass last. New designation for a award, and put on by the Black Diamond Maple Valley Chamber. So, as usual, we had a great time, but usually we do a little bit better. Maybe we just didn't cheat as much as
right? We were too honest.
I wanted to point out that King County election ballots will be prepaid postage in the future, so your next ballots that go out in August will
They're
all
out.
Be prepaid
we got ours
postage.
Today.
Yeah, we got ours today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
And then we are going to be having quarterly meetings with Issaquah, Maple Valley, Covington, and Black Diamond about transportation and growth targets starting next Friday, or tomorrow. So this is a new transportation group that we're trying to figure out how to figure out regionally what we're going to do about transportation. And that's the end of my report. So let's see, who's going first? Councilmember Deedy.
Well, you don't want me first, but AWC.
You missed that.
Our conference, yeah. We went to the AWC conference for 4 days. And was very educational and interesting, and we took a little course on culverts. Was kind of interesting, and they were pointing out that the state is requiring that we replace culverts with bridges, but they didn't know how they were going to enforce that with cities and counties. So they said they keep going ahead, and maybe we would get like our culverts. Maybe we would get to repair them like we need to, because they're not sure they're going to be able to enforce that with the city. So we will see. But anyway, it was an interesting conference, and the keynote speaker, I can't even remember his name, but he was talking about the boys in the boat and that that won the 1932 Olympics, and my grandson actually rowed for Washington State. So it was interesting talking about that. This coach was very young, had coached for like 5 years, and this year he told them at the very beginning of the year that they were going to the Olympics and they were going to win first, and they did. And he said, so it's all a mindset. He's not the guy that wrote the book, but he said it's all a mindset. If you decide that you're going to win, you're going to win. So
So to add off of just that part there, those boys in that rowing group there came from a lower or a low income class.
Lower class.
So some were homeless, but they came together as a team and they were able to win. But as a team, they relied on each other and they pulled through and they won that. So it was an amazing story, and I'll have to get the book. I just haven't done it yet.
Oh.
Okay, so
I have it too.
Okay, yeah. So far.
It's a great book.
So my report is a little long tonight. So I attended the chamber of Commerce, Black Diamond Chamber with Maple Valley, the Wacky Golf Tournament. I think Carol and I have done it 5 years now. With our husbands. It's a lot of fun. It's a chance to get with a lot of businesses in town and the chamber and the council members, and it's a good networking for all of us. So it's a lot of fun. AWC conference, that's, I think it's 198 cities and counties that attend that event, and it's an excellent way for us as council members and mayor to get to interact with all of these. Obviously, we can't meet everybody, but we sit with different people. We talk about their issues. Some people know about our issues and talk about that a lot, which you kind of like, I'm done with that issue. Let's find something else. But it's a highly recommended event for council members. I know, Aaron, you had an issue at a family, but next year, when it comes around, I highly recommend any of the newbies to take advantage of that and to go there. You don't have to go every day. You can, you know, pick maybe 2 days you can go, or just one day you want to go. This year was in Yakima. I think next year it's in Spokane. So I really suggest you guys try to do that. I attended the finance meeting and the safety meeting and the ad hoc committee meeting Tuesday with Chris and I. The mayor had family in that are leaving, so she spent that time with them. So I would like to talk a little bit about the ad hoc committee, our fire committee, on figuring out what we're going to do. So in May of 2018, the committee had decided to take about a month and a half break, and to because we were meeting and really weren't moving anywhere. And for 2 years, we all know the city went through hell. So we didn't get anything accomplished. So the last 5 months, the ad hoc committee was meeting. We were kind of just rehashing the same stuff. So we decided, well, let's take a break. And the ad hoc committee would send our... because we're looking at merging or annexing in with District 44. And so we thought, okay, well, if the city, the mayor, and the attorney, and the fire department got together, looked over the contract, then at our ad hoc committee on Tuesday, we would have something to discuss. Well, we didn't have that yet. We haven't seen anything. So far, the ad hoc committee has not heard from the city, and on our meeting on July 17th, we had nothing to talk about, you know, other than what is our goal? You know, are we going to continue meeting? Is it just, are we not going to annex in? Chris and I said that we were still for annexing in. If that's not the direction the council wants to go, where are we going? How is the ad hoc committee, is it going to still be together, or are we going to put it on hold? Do we tell the fire department we don't want to annex? Do we tell the fire department that we want to just continue with a contract and go into negotiations? So is the direction for that? The ad hoc committee needs to know is the opinion of the city attorney on a contract. You know, did he look at that? Where are we going to, what do we need to look at? What is, you know, and what does the fire department need to understand? You know, it's been a few years since we've looked at that contract, and obviously I'm sure there's some updates that need to be done. But again, the ad hoc committee doesn't know anything. We're kind of sitting and not moving anywhere. So we've been contracting with Fire District 44 for many years. Gosh, I don't even know how long. It's 8 years? It's 12 years? So, and with 12 years, I don't know any issues we've had with District 44. If any, we've been a great partner. We pay, how much? How much do we pay a year for contracting with?
I don't remember.
It's like $300,000.
Do you know?
$550,000.
$550,000?
We pay twice a year.
Yeah. So so we pay just under 90 cents per household, per 1,000 per assessed value.
Well, Tammy, I think that this would be a really good work session.
Right.
To
I
discuss
it. What I have to say in that.
Okay.
Then you could do that. so, so if we as a council decide that we just want to continue to contract with District 44, then we also need to look at our budget for this next year or adjust it to adjust it accordingly. Because I'm assuming if that's our goal, then District 44 isn't going to come in at the same lower rate. It's probably going to come up some because we've added new homes, new residents. So, and I'm not asking for a vote tonight, just a direction on which way to go. So the attorney feedback. Just a second. So a little bit about Maple Valley. So Maple Valley just went into a 20-year contract with Puget Sound Regional Fire Authority. It was voted on by the Maple Valley Fire and Life Safety Commission, and then it had to go to another entity, and that entity, I can't remember what it was, but they voted that that was okay to do. Maple Valley will be paying $9 million per year for this service, $9 million. And it does save them just over $1 million for contracting with this authority. And all of this, of course, is paid through property tax. Last November, the voters in Maple Valley approved a property tax levy lift to put the rate at $1.50 per 1,000 of assessed valuation. And Puget Sound Fire covers 60 square miles, and that's SeaTac, Kent, and Covington, and King County District 37. They have 220 firefighters and 40 staff. So I just bring this up, you know, is it, I don't know what our dragging our feet is. You know, even if the council voted tonight and said, let's annex in with District 44, it's still going to be, gosh, 2, maybe even 3 years before it even goes onto a ballot to do that. So, it's getting frustrating to go to an ad hoc committee meeting and not have anything to move forward. So I just want to make sure that my time and the mayor's time and Chris's time and the commissioner and the fire chief and everybody's time is spent wisely. And as citizens came out, they're actually hearing new information all the time and seeing this ad hoc committee move. So with that, Mayor, you could take over.
Well, I just thought that this would be a good subject for a work session because it will take a lot of time to discuss that tonight. So
yeah.
I don't know if you agree with that, but I think it would probably be a good time to have a work session on this when we have our next work session.
And I'd be okay with that. Our next ad hoc committee meeting is August
2018?
21st. It's a third Tuesday.
But we could postpone that, too,
yeah.
So that we could have our work session and a discussion.
21st.
So, and David, you've gotten a hold of the contract, right?
I have reviewed the contract, and I've passed along my high-level comments. Happy to share that with you offline or otherwise. Not here.
Right. And if that would be okay with the mayor, you know, it would help me and Chris to understand where, if it's then stagnated at City Hall, why it has and why it hasn't been talked about at any length with even with Chris and I who are on the ad hoc committee and trying to work through this. So at the work study, then I would assume that would be brought up, right? Because, I mean, what's good of a work study if we can't understand what the attorney has said?
Yes, we could do that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think we just kind of owe the district.
What direction?
Yeah, some guidance as to our direction, right? They've kind of been holding out there for 12 years, and I think we just need to figure out which direction we think we're going to go so they know how to plan forward.
Also, as a council member, I'm interested in what's going on, too, because it's been crickets. So I think it's time to do something.
Yeah. So, Council Member Oglesby?
I still have one more issue.
Aren't you done yet?
No. So a little bit on, there was talk tonight about fireworks. I think it was, Jamie, maybe you can help me, 4 years ago, maybe three, that we sat down and we discussed about banning fireworks in the city of Black Diamond. And it does come down to resources. More police officers out covering our area, trying to track down who's lighting off what fireworks. And I think that, if I remember right, you have to actually see it in action. You can't just pull up and see that there's a group of people standing around what looks like it got some got lit off, but Chief Kiplinger can't just arrest everybody and fine everybody, and nobody's going to claim whose it is, so you're lost there. So one thing I did think about while you were talking is you have an HOA up there on Lawson Hill Estates. Maybe, and I don't know, maybe an HOA can enforce that no fireworks are allowed within the HOA housing development.
I already called. That was my second call after coming to the police department and talking to Jamie. I called the HOA, and they pretty much told me they've got a year left to manage that, and then they're throwing it off to the homeowners there. She said that they're not responsible in any way, and then I need to take it up to city council.
Okay, so so that was my only other thing, because I really don't, I'm not in favor of banning fireworks. That, you know, it's a lot of money, it's a lot of resource on our police. I think we did a good job on trying to get it to just one day. Obviously, the week before and a few days after, people were still lighting them off. But it's just a hard thing to track down and ban. I know the city of Maple Valley, I'm on their website, on the, not the city's, but the residents' website, and they're all talking, all the residents that I've seen on there are saying, you know, they disregard it because they know that it's hard for the police department to get to everybody and try to catch them in the act. So at this point, I'll just tell the council I'm not for banning. Once there is a resolution on how you can totally get rid of them and they won't sneak into your city, then maybe we can look at it then. But for right now, I don't know what the resolution is for that.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Hi. I attended the safety committee meeting on July 5th. I also attended the local Miners Day event here in town down in the bakery on July 7th. Where I had our Black Diamond Labor Day's booth there. We did really well selling shirts. It was a great event. I encourage other people in the future to go to those local events and support your city and meet your neighbors. It was great. I met with Andy. And saw the new layout and all that goodness in 10 trials. I attended the Black Diamond Labor Day meeting on July 11th, the work study on July 12th, and then, of course, the one we just had today. And we do have a future Black Diamond Labor Day meeting coming up July 25th. We're always looking for new volunteers. It's a great event to get involved in. It's over 100 years old. It's something that all the community members enjoy, and we need volunteers for it to continue. So if you're interested in joining a great group of volunteers, come see us next Wednesday, the 25th, 6:30 at the bakery.
Councilmember Edelman.
Well, I also went to Miner's Day, and my little grandsons loved it.
Yeah.
They thought it was terrific. On the 10th, we did the Public Works meeting where we were discussing the issues that were brought up tonight. I also met with Andy, as I said earlier. I also went to the Wacky Golf Tournament yesterday, but I walked it. Sometimes I rode in Tammy's cart, but I was there supposedly to be a marshal, and then it didn't happen, so I just walked with the mayor and Tammy, and it was very fun. And they had really a lousy day of golf, even from my limited knowledge of how a golf game is supposed to go. But it was really fun, and it turned out to be a beautiful day. Some things that are coming up, too, I think it was already mentioned, tomorrow night is the Hometown Social at 10 Trails, or I'm calling it the Hometown Hoedown. We're going to go. I think it's going to be really fun. And Lennar Homes is going to have their open house this weekend, and it looked like maybe they're going to be open tomorrow night, too. So I think that's kind of fun. On Saturday, Covington is having their parade, so I'm going to be at that. And I want to talk about fireworks, too. You guys all know I live at Lake Sawyer. The community of Lake Sawyer spends literally a boatload of money with professional fireworks. We also have many families that feel that it is their right to shoot off just as expensive and have their shows last just as long as our professional show. We have a neighbor who has complained. In fact, we just saw her yesterday on our morning walk, and she complained. She actually had to leave her house because I don't know what's bigger than an M80, a half a stick of dynamite. There are so many big booms that go off that it's just outrageous, and it doesn't stop at midnight. There's still some stuff that goes on at 1 o'clock in the morning. It appears from what I've been told by this one neighbor, too, that people come from all over, like Bellevue. One of our neighbor's son lives in Bellevue. They can't shoot off fireworks in Bellevue, so he comes to Mom and Dad's house, and they shoot them off at the beach. I would like to see a way. I'm very conflicted, I'll tell you that right now, because on the one hand, I would like to be able to support the Kiwanis. On the other hand, I think the time is coming where we need to get rid of some of this stuff. It's too dangerous. You look at how dry it is. You know, Trish, look at your tree. That could have been your house, and it could have been your son's. You know, I think we're just at that point now as our density increases that we need to be looking at it. But it's a legal issue, and I don't know what the answer is to that. I don't know how they're already illegal, but they run down to Auburn to the Muckleshoots, and truckloads come to Lake Sawyer. I don't know how you stop that unless you just... I can give you names and addresses. I can tell you exactly who's shooting them off and when. But I don't think that's the way enforcement's supposed to be. It's a tough one. And I think a lot of it, too, are little boys that grew up to be big boys, and they like those large booms. I don't know many of the women that... It's fun to watch, but I don't feel the need to go out and be lighting that stuff off. So I'm going to dump it to the mayor and to our city attorney to help resolve this because it's a pretty complicated issue. But I do share your concern, Trish. So I think that's all I've got.
Councilmember Stout.
Mm-hmm. I missed a couple of committee meetings and the last council meeting, and I would like to thank my fellow council members for filling in for me where I couldn't go. I also want to thank my fellow council members, the city staff, and a lot of community members who are really supportive of our family when we lost our daughter-in-law suddenly. And we're still pretty distressed and trying to figure out what normal is for our family. But I'm back and up and running and able to participate in meetings that I'm really enjoying going to as a council member and working with the city staff. On July 4th, I went to a barbecue at a friend's house, and I met Leah and Marty McFadden, who are the first residents of 10 Trails, and I got to rock their baby to sleep, and that was kind of fun. So they're a really cute little family, and they're really excited to be moved into 10 Trails, and I told them, wow, you guys are so brave to be moving into a construction zone. And they said, oh, we did this before where we lived, and they're really excited and anxious to be there. And their kids are super cute. And so I think all of us will get an opportunity to meet them soon. And I hope that they'll really be welcomed in the community. So that was fun. On the 5th of July, I went with Councilmember Wisnowski and Andy Williamson to tour the plat that we approved tonight. We had a good little meeting beforehand, and then we took our tour and really got the lowdown on what's going on up there. I appreciate the level of ownership that the city staff has. They want to make sure that everything is going the way that it's supposed to and for the best of the community. They're really serious about it. As we drove around up there, Andy pointed out a few things. Oh, I need to talk to them about something that's going on over here. And then we met an Oak Point employee who had taken the day to drive his family home, away from home, to come and tour the project there. And I thought, that's kind of cool to take a day with your family, with your kids in the back, and drive around and say, this is my project that I'm working on. He thought he was getting a ticket, but, you know, it was just a little joke right there. But they really take some good ownership of what they're doing there, and it means something to them. So that was a great day. On the 10th, I attended the Public Works meeting where we talked about that greenhouse gas thing and a couple of other issues that will be coming before council a little later. On the 12th, the Budget and Finance Committee met and we reviewed vouchers that were on the consent agenda tonight, and we talked a lot about the capital improvement plan, the calendar as we're working on that, and also the budget calendar for the 2019 budget, so that's coming right up. And then on the 12th was the work session where we talked about those very specific projects that are on the capital improvement plan, made a few changes there, and we'll be going forward with that. As far as fireworks complaints are concerned, we've had emails, or at least I've had emails, from a few citizens who are talking about their distress over fireworks. And my response is that the ones that they're talking about are already illegal. And so I don't think banning the, you know, quote, safe and sane, or class, whatever it is that's allowed, is really going to accomplish anything really helpful when the ones that are already illegal are the ones that are out there causing, you know, explosions and fires and, you know, things that are shooting up into the sky, which those are the ones that are illegal. So, of course, a little firework can also cause a fire or injury or damage, but you know, if citizens are not going to obey the law surrounding the ones that are already banned, then what makes us think that they're going to obey the law if we ban the other ones? It is a really tricky situation. I've never been a fan of fireworks. I always think, wow, that's a lot of money up in smoke for a couple of minutes. And that's my personal opinion. I'm not really a big fan, but within the community, we certainly need to be paying attention to safety. And I appreciated that the chief sent us the couple page document that listed out what we can use and what we can't use. I don't know how available that is to the community unless somebody just goes online and looks up, you know, what can I do or what can't I do. I don't think, you know, we don't really pass that on, and maybe we should do that through the city website to make sure that people know a little bit better. And I'm wondering if there's a way for community groups, maybe even Kiwanis, to promote being a good neighbor and working together as a neighbor. And, you know, I don't know if the homeowners associations can really, you know, pass the buck and say, oh, talk to the city council about that. We're talking about your neighbors and your neighborhood, and, you know, I don't want to pass the buck either, but we do have an enforcement issue. We have a limited number of police officers. I guess we could station somebody, you know, they could work 24 hours that one day and put an officer in every neighborhood. I'm not really sure how that would work. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. I'm just saying it is an enforcement issue, and what can we what can we do to make it a safer and more comfortable celebration for every member of our community? So I don't think we can sweep it under the rug. I think we need to address it, and something needs to happen, whether it's just encouragement or more enforcement or whatever it is. You know, some citizens are really in distress over this issue. And we were lucky this year. I think the chief said that we had fewer incidents than usual. But it's just that one time that someone is hurt or injured or property is lost that really makes a difference. So I think we need to keep it at the top of the list for our citizens. And that is my report.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
All right. So I attended the first hometown social on the 29th. I think it was the 29th.
Yeah.
Yeah. And got to see a bunch of folks. Had a really good time. Got to kind of look around a little bit. Everyone that I spoke to was impressed. So I think that the tide is turning on public image of it, but I think that they've done such a great job working with Andy and all the staff in the city and with the development folks to put together a really nice looking and well done development. So that was great. So I'm looking forward to this Friday night's hometown social. I might have to leave early because there's a Jeep thing at the gelato place, and you know, Jeeps and gelato, I gotta go. So, I did the tour with Councilmember Stout and Andy of the development on the 5th. That was great, very insightful, it's very great to see someone who takes such pride in their work and knows all the little details. I mean, it's pretty impressive when you ask one of these guys and they're like, oh yeah, and you're like, on this huge project, how do you know all these little details? And they do. So, and it was really good to see the Oak Point folks taking pride in their work as well. So on the 14th, I marched in the Derby Days Parade. A friend of mine is running for state rep or something like that. So it was, I did this a lot, held a sign and waved to people. And I did actually recognize a couple people that I know that live in Redmond and over there. But it was really hot. That's a long march. So, and then we had the fire ad hoc committee meeting. And I really think that what we need to do is we need to get together as a council and let the fire district know kind of what our intent is so that they can plan going forward. They've kind of been in a holding pattern for many, many, many years. And we're getting really, really, really inexpensive fire protection. I think that if we go to renegotiate the contract instead of looking at the annexation, that we'll definitely notice that we haven't adjusted that contract in 12 years. But I think annexation is the right way to go forward, but I think we should have that discussion with David and the full council to move forward. Fireworks. I'll chime my two cents on it. One, I think that I am always against any laws or regulations that are almost impossible to enforce, and we just don't have the resources to enforce them. Now, that's not saying that I don't believe in citizen enforcement. So I think that it is the responsibility of everyone to take responsibility for their actions. So that in my little part of our town, right, our little city, all of us who know that certain people are going to have fireworks, we all talk, right? We make sure that, you know, you're going to be done before midnight. And they were done at 11:45. That was great. And all of us had our little garden hoses handy and our buckets handy, and we all paid attention, and we all worked together. And there's, you know, here and there some folks that didn't like all the noises, but it's the 4th of July. We're celebrating kind of a big thing. So I think that while I really don't think a city ban does much besides maybe make the city feel good, I think what really needs to happen is neighbors need to get back to talking to neighbors, right? And
it's one of the things that has happened in the last 20 years is people don't talk to each other. So I think that's maybe we can figure out a way to help foster that, right, and help foster neighborhoods talk to each other and make sure that they work together. And if you know you're going to be setting off fireworks, one, don't be an idiot and get drunk and blow your fingers off, right? Everybody saw the Facebook memes on July 3rd that this was the last day that a good portion of America was going to have all 10 fingers. So, and someone who is a former medic has gone out on those kind of calls where people have had to, let's just say, learn to dial the phone differently. It's one of those things where people really need to think about their actions, right, and take responsibility for themselves and protect both themselves as well as their neighbors. So that's a hard one, but I think that's it.
So do we have an attorney report?
Well, not a report per se, but I will just offer a couple of thoughts on, since fireworks seem to be a hot topic tonight. Just a reminder, and this is not in any way to suggest that this council should or should not change the fireworks laws, ban fireworks, loosen fireworks regulations, anything. Not a policymaker. I'm simply here to help you use the tools at your discretion. But if you were to take up modifications to the city code regarding fireworks, state law does not allow new fireworks regulations to go into effect for at least 1 year after they're adopted. So if you're going to make any changes, you need to do them by July the 3rd if you want them to be July 3rd, 2019, if you want them to be effective by July 4th, 2020.
Yeah, it's 1 year.
Thank you.
Mayor, may I add something?
Yes, Councilmember Oglesby.
You forwarded an email earlier to us, and I just want to share with the community that we do have some new businesses coming in this town. And one of them that we've been invited to is the Lumber House Brewery, which is coming to us soon on July 27th. And it's going to be located in the Diamond Square area. I just want the community to know that that is a new business coming in.
Their official ribbon cutting is tomorrow
at noon.
You have, Friday, July 27th at noon.
Oh, 20, that's right. It's not tomorrow. It's the next
day. Because they changed it.
Yeah, so Friday 27th at noon at the Diamond Square, Lumber House Brewery will be opening, having the ribbon cutting. If any of the community wants to join me and some others, to welcome them.
Going
to
be there.
Where in?
Diamond Square.
It's on the north side of Diamond Square. So where the loft is, the beauty salon, if you go north and just around that corner, it's right there. And then around the other corner is the distillery.
Okay.
So if you don't drink beer, you can go have a glass of something else.
Because I visit. Well, if anybody hasn't stopped and just stopped in at the distillery, right, they're great folks.
Yeah.
They're very personable. They got, if you like gin, they've got some good gin. Not that I'm, pushing you to, but, it's always good to visit your local businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to get out of a hole here, aren't I?
We go to the chiropractor in there.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. We go to the jump place all the time, right? So the kids go to the jump place all the time. So.
I go to the hair salon. So,
so now it's time for the second public comments.
Don't worry about the hair salon.
Those wishing to speak to council, please come up and give your name and your city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Jonna.
Hi, Jonna Thompson, Black Diamond. I have a Scrivener's note on these minutes from June 25th. It says July on the top here, and I think it should be June 25th instead of July. So, regarding fireworks, Janie, how much money do you think people spend on the personal fireworks around Lake Sawyer every year?
Thousands and thousands. There's big trucks that come to certain locations.
Exactly. Thousands, hundreds of thousands.
And Lake Sawyer Community Club spends tens of thousands.
On the professional.
On the professional.
One. So I just want to give you a perspective. So the Kiwanis tent this year, we sold $30,000 worth of fireworks. So all of the fireworks in Black Diamond are not coming from us, just so you know. And a lot of the fireworks that people buy from the Kiwanis tent go out of the community. So of that $30,000, we earned this year about $8,000, which is great. It's our best and biggest fundraiser. I think that fact is a piece of the puzzle of the fireworks. It's not the overriding fact, obviously. If we didn't have this fundraiser anymore, we would find something else. It's not the end of the world, right? But just because we've been immersed in the whole fundraising thing for the whole fireworks issue for a while, it's been interesting learning curve about learning what's happening out there. The thing about the illegals is that they are not supposed to come off of the reservations. So every year we hear stories about people who bought $1,000 worth of fireworks, and as soon as they got in off of the reservation, they're pulled over by a state trooper who pulls them over and then either sends them back to the reservation to blow them all up on the reservation, or they confiscate them. If there was more of that at the boundaries, that would help. It would help all of the communities. And I know that's just a matter of providing more officers at those boundaries, but if all the cities put some effort and some pressure on the states or whoever is organizing that, the city of Auburn, whoever is at their borders, maybe that would help everybody. Because those rumors, because we certainly at our fireworks stand pass that along to people who say, well, you don't have firecrackers, we're going to go to the reservation. And we always just add that, well, just want you to know that you might get that, all that might get confiscated. So I really appreciate all of the feedback and dialogue. I'm going to share this with the Kiwanis board. I appreciate Councilmember Stout's suggestions about perhaps having some education there, just about we could provide more education at our stand, maybe some boards that just remind people about the hours in Black Diamond, remind people about being safe. Right now we do have a flyer that we hand out, and we always talk to kids about being safe. I specifically talk to teenagers about Roman candles, not holding them in their hands, and of course they're all like, that's how you're supposed to do it. And so now I say, that's how you lose your fingers. So anyway, I appreciate the conversation. I'm glad I was here today so I could hear it and so I can share this with the board and share it with the rest of the Kiwanis group. So thank you for that. Okay, thanks. Oh, I'm also glad to hear more about moving forward with the fire issue. I really think that needs to go to a vote as soon as possible.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council?
My name is Roberta Nash. I live in Black Diamond in Lawson Hills. I've heard an awful lot of excuses why we shouldn't do anything about it. You can't control it. You can't, you know, have all the police around checking on it and things like that. Then why are other communities doing it? I mean, obviously, there's something that they're benefiting from it. And I think that's something we need to look into and not use difficulties as an excuse. As far as responsible people on the 4th of July, 4th of July and drinking kind of go hand in hand, or that's what I've grown up with. And I have no problem with that. You're in your own home, you can do what you want and go for it. The problem is when you do drink, all your inhibitions go out and you don't think. So the 4th of July is a very time when people can be very, well, they just let it all go, and that's what they do. Now, as far as talking to your neighbors, you will find that usually the neighbors that are the worst problem makers aren't going to listen to you. In fact, they're going to get angry and vicious.
And so talking to them is just going to make a difficulty in the neighborhood. I mean, you have to have something that you can back it up with. As far as education in that, people who are responsible are going to pay attention to the education. People who are irresponsible, it's just going to go in the garbage, and it's going to go in one ear and out the other. Like I said, obviously other communities are banning it. They must be getting some benefit from it. So I think it should be looked into. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Bob?
I'm sorry. Bob Edelman, Black Diamond. Little instant research. There's only six municipalities in King County that permit fireworks. Six, Black Diamond being one of them. There's only one municipality that has no rules on their books, so they follow state law. That's Duval. The idea that people from Bellevue are going to go elsewhere to burn their fireworks. Maybe they'll go out into the county, or they'll come to Black Diamond. I think the idea that the inability to enforce a law, that we just won't pass it. It's awful difficult, I'm sure, to enforce underage drinking. But we still have a law, and most citizens observe the law. Don't allow their kids to drink.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. Was there somebody? Oh. I will close this public comment session. We do not have an executive session. We will have a closed session to discuss collective bargaining pursuant to RCW 42.30.1404. After our adjournment, no action will follow. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Meeting adjourned. We'd appreciate you exiting.